Psalms chapter 6. It's good to think about the love of God, and it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, the Lord is always going to love you if you are His child. You can always go to Him. You can always pray to Him. You can always count on Him to have mercy on you and have grace on you. And that's what the subject of the message will be this evening. The title of the message is I want to entitle this, My Own Worst Enemy. My Own Worst Enemy. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, but many times in my life, I've looked back at myself and thought, man, I'm the culprit here. I'm the one to blame. I can't point the finger at anybody else. And so I believe that David, somewhat, when he's looking at this psalm or he's writing this psalm and he's talking, he's really tired of himself. He's tired of the things that he's doing to himself. This is like a penitential psalm. He's asking God for mercy and he's asking God for forgiveness. And I believe that he's just tired of himself. And he has no place to go but other to God, other to the Lord. He doesn't have any place to go. And David's not unlike anybody else here. We're all sinners. We all have flesh. We all are going to do things that are wrong. And sooner or later, you may not have experienced this yet in your life, but sooner or later, you're going to have to go to God. You're going to have to go to the Lord. You're not going to have another place to go. You're going to find yourself in that place one of these days, if you haven't already. We'll read the whole chapter, all 10 verses. And you'll notice that he's talking to the Lord and he's asking God not to rebuke him, not to chasten him when he's angry. It says in verse number 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thine hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is sore vexed, but Thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for Thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of Thee. In the grave who shall give Thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for all that You've given to us. We thank You for giving us a place to come and to assemble. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for being there for us, and we thank You for having open ears to hear us when we have troubles and we have trials in life and we've even messed up our own lives. We thank You that You're there for us. Dear God, I pray that You'd help us to come to You in humility and just down low before You when we come to You. Dear Father, not in pride. I pray that You'd help us to remember how good and how gracious and how merciful that You are to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask you a question, and you can kind of sort this out in your own mind. All the trouble and all the bad things that have happened in your life, who's to blame for those things? Who can you point the finger at whenever things go wrong in your life or things have gone wrong in your life? Who could you blame for that? I want you to make an honest assessment of that. I had to do that myself. And I believe that most of the time we can point the finger right back at us. most of the time it's our fault. That's not that way 100% of the time. I know a lot of times it could be a family member, it could be a co-worker, it could be a so-called friend that has done you wrong and has caused problems in your life, but most of the time I believe that you're going to have to point the finger back at you and say, yep, that was my fault, I did that there. You know, I caused the problem, I caused the whatever it is in your life that happened. I can think back about my own life, and just a simple illustration, I have several scars on my left hand, my fingers, and I have no one to blame but my right hand. I was the one that was holding the knife, I was the one that was holding the saw, I was the one that was holding the utility knife or whatever it was, and I put all those scars on my hand. It was nobody else. Nobody forced me to do all that, those kinds of things. You know, it's my fault. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. I do things that I shouldn't do to myself, and I feel stupid for it afterwards. I remember times in my life, look back and done some bad things, done some wrong things, committed sins, done all these things, and I remember standing in front of the mirror and looking at myself and saying, did you do that? Was that you that did that, Jeff? It was you that did it. Now maybe you might think I'm crazy, or maybe you've done the same thing yourself. I don't know. But I've done that before. And I could point the finger at nobody else but only myself. I'm my own worst enemy sometimes. I believe that's what David is doing here. He's saying, man, I've committed sin. I've done some things that are wrong, and I can't blame anybody else but myself. It says in Job chapter 14 in verse number 1, man is born of a woman. Man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. Doesn't take long for a little kid to get in trouble, does it? I mean, it doesn't take long before he's hurting himself in some way, because that's just what people do. I mean, everything would be okay on planet Earth, the Earth, if people weren't on the planet. Everything would be just fine. But we'll destroy ourselves. That's just a matter of fact. You can't deny those facts. I mean, people are the problem on the Earth. It's not God, though a lot of people like to lay the blame on God, but it's their own foolish choices and their own foolish decisions that brought them to the place where they're at. All God did was let them go ahead and do it. And they did it, you know. But yet they like to try and blame God or somebody else. And like I said, many times it could be someone else, but most of the time it's their fault. They did it. It says in Proverbs 29:15, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. That's why we have parents. That's why they're there to watch their children, because we know if you leave children alone, hey, they're just going to hurt themselves. So in this chapter here, David is once again in trouble, but this time the trouble is not only coming from his enemies, it's coming from himself and his own sin. But he approaches God in humility and asks God for some grace and some mercy in his situation. And guess what? God hears his prayer. God doesn't hear every prayer, but he will hear some prayers. It depends on the heart of the person who is praying and how they approach God. So his enemies are scorning him for his downfall, making fun of him. And they said, oh, where is your God at now? But after he gets done with his ordeal at the end of this chapter, man, he's able to rebuke his enemies and say, hey, let mine enemies be scattered away from me. He's got power over his enemies. He said, man, God is on my side. I'm able to rebuke my enemies now. If God is not on your side, I don't believe you're going to have much power to rebuke the enemy. And each and every one of us have an enemy. Many times it's ourselves, but we have the world, and we have the flesh, and we have the devil. We are no better than David. We all make mistakes. We all have the same kind of sin nature in us, and we're all going to sin. We're all going to do things that are wrong, and we are weak, as David says to God here himself. He has no problem. He has no problem admitting that he is weak. He has no problem admitting to God that he is sinful. That's the big problem sometimes with people. They don't want to go to God and say, hey, I'm a sinner and I've messed up and I've done wrong. I'm weak. Let me encourage you here this evening. If you have weaknesses or you have sins or you have problems, don't be afraid to go to God in humility and say, hey, I've got this problem. I need to get this off my chest. I need to confess this to you, Lord. Because many times people just don't do that. They won't do it. They won't pray to God. They won't confess their sins. They've got too much pride in their heart. But David is pleading for mercy for his actions, and he admitted that he is weak. He is grief-stricken both physically and spiritually. Look at verse number 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, for my bones are vexed. The outside of his body, his bones, his flesh, he's hurting. He's got problems. And not only that, on the inside, it says, my soul is sore vexed. Man, that's pretty bad when the inside of your soul is vexed and you're hurting and you need something from God. He says in verse number 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. So when you have problems in this life, and many times it's going to be your fault or my fault, what do we do? What can we do when we are our own worst enemy? When we are the culprit of our problems, when we bring sin and we bring problems into our life upon ourselves, what do? When we have no other place to turn because we're the problem, what do? We do the same thing that David did. The exact same thing that David did. First thing he did is he admitted he's guilty. He didn't try to find a scapegoat and say, oh, hey, what my fault? He admitted he was guilty. That's the worst thing that you can do. You want to talk about blinding yourself to your own sin is don't admit your guilt. Don't do it. You talk about getting a hard heart. Just don't admit you're guilty. Just say, hey, there's nothing wrong with me. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, being down on yourself all the time and all these, you know, negative talk toward yourself. I'm not talking about that. But if something's truly wrong in your life, yes, no problem going to God and admitting your sin. That's the first thing you ought to do is just admit it. Just say, hey, look, I'm guilty. Guilty. David right here is saying, hey, I know I deserve what I'm getting. I know I deserve it. Look at verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. He says, man, please don't rebuke me when you're angry, Lord. Don't chasten me in your hot displeasure. You see the way he goes to God? He doesn't say, hey, you know, I'm not that bad. You know, I may be a sinner and I may do some things wrong, but really I'm not that bad. He doesn't do that. He says, guilty as charged. Right here, I did it. First thing he did. You know, it takes some humility to do that. It takes some meekness to do that. Maybe that's why the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, because David's not making excuses. David's not going around trying to justify his own sin. He admits that he's weak. He admits that he is weary. And God has brought David to a place where he had to accurately assess himself and assess the Lord. So when he goes to God, he says, man, I got to look at myself. I got to look at the sin that I have done. Whatever it was that David did, it doesn't say what David did. But he says, man, I got to make an accurate assessment here. And I'm the problem. And you know what else he comes away with? He says, man, God's a merciful God. God is a gracious and a merciful God. He sees that when he goes to God in prayer. He sees that whenever he talks to God. So God had brought David to a place of humility. He realizes, man, I can't save myself. If it's up to me, I'm in trouble. I can't save myself. Look at verse number 4. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. He didn't say, hey, man, I can handle it. I can save myself. No problems here. Oh, he doesn't do that. None whatsoever. He says, hey, guilty, and nobody can save me but God, and I'm going to God, and I'm asking you, God, give me some mercy here. Give me some grace and help me. He wasn't too proud to admit that he was guilty and that he was weak. That's the problem with the American society today that I can see. They are too busy making themselves a victim out here in the world. They don't want to say, hey, man, I'm guilty. They don't want to say that. I bet you go and you talk to prisoners in prison, they're probably going to say, I'm not guilty. Hey, I've seen enough TV shows to know that's what they say. They go in, they interrogate those people that have done those crimes, and they say, oh, it wasn't me. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to justify themselves, trying to make themselves look good. But yet we're not. Hey, have you ever noticed the Bible's rendition of mankind? Not a pretty picture. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's me. And that's my grandma and my grandpa too. None that doeth good, no, not one. And your grandma and grandpa too. We're all sinners. Every one of us. We can't get out of it. Now the Bible, I tell you what, the Bible says, hey man, we groan and travail in pain, man. We want out of this body. I want out of this body. I want out of this thing that makes me sin. Has bad thoughts. Has bad intentions. I want out of that. But the fact of the matter is, we are in the flesh. You know, geographically, we're here. There's nothing we can do about it. We're going to sin. That doesn't mean we have to sin, but we're going to sin because it's just a matter of fact. So let's not justify our sin. Let's come before God in honesty and say, hey, I'm a sinner. I've done things that are wrong. But in our society today, it doesn't happen that way. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as time goes on. You know, I read a story the other day, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody here. I'm trying to illustrate a point, but the Vatican hosted a homosexual man. I'm sure everyone's heard of that. Well, this man talked to the Pope, and supposedly the Vatican hasn't corroborated this story, or they haven't denied it. But this man came and talked to the Pope, and he said, look, I was abused by clerical, I guess a priest or something like that, and he says, now I'm a homosexual. You know what supposedly the Pope said to this man? He said, well, don't worry about that. God made you that way. He just denied Genesis chapter 3. He just denied his own church's catechism because their church's catechism doesn't say that. But he said that. You know what he's trying to do? Well, besides make a political move there, he's trying to justify the man's sin. He's trying to deny Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, or the whole chapter that says man is a fallen being. That's what he's trying to do. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. None whatsoever. God made you that way. Well, God doesn't make people that way. You know what happens? Sin happened. Sin has marred and destroyed human beings. That's what it is. And I can say the same thing about my own sin. You know what the problem is? Me and the sin that abides on the inside of me. That's the problem. Let's not justify it. But yet they try to normalize those things. Hey, there's nothing normal about that. Amen. Nothing normal about it. There's nothing normal about sin. Hey, it's bad stuff. It'll destroy you. Sin will destroy you. Someone tries to normalize those things. Hey, there's something so simple about that. All you have to do is do a simple study of human anatomy and you will find out that that is not normal. It is not normal. It's not natural. But yet, the Pope supposedly is trying to justify this man's sin. That's what the world tries to do. I thought of a quote just now from someone, but I can't remember it just right, but sin has affected our desires and our emotions and every part of the human being, all the way down to our physical bodies. Why do we die? Why do we go to the grave? Why do we lie? Why do we do all of those things? Because we're sinners. Because Genesis chapter 3, and your father Adam sinned. But thank God you got a new father now if you're saved. Amen. That's your heavenly father. You're no longer in Adam, you're in Jesus Christ. Amen. You do not have to suffer the punishment of that sin anymore. We have been set free. But when we realize that we are our own worst enemy, and the best thing that you can do is go to God and say, look, God, it was me. It is me. Just confess it before God. Why do you think God has given us a place where we can come and you can kneel in your own house and talk to God? You don't even have to kneel. You can talk to Him right now. Just confess your sins before God and admit your guilt and come clean to God right now. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Someone walks around and say, oh, that's not a sin, this is not a sin, and I'm just going to go on my happy way. It doesn't matter what the Bible says, we're just going to do it anyway. You're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. Don't try to justify sin, call it out, and then repent of that sin. That's what we must do. That's the Bible way. That's God's way. And if you do it another way, you know what's going to happen? You're going to destroy yourself, because sin is not your friend. Amen. Yeah. And it will destroy you. That's why we have a Bible. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why God is our Father. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's the first thing we must do. If you are your own worst enemy, hey, just admit your guilt. Say, hey, guilty right here. The next thing that you can do, if you go to God and you pray, appeal to the grace of God, not your own good works, not your own self-righteousness. Appeal to the grace of God. Say, hey, God, I know that You are merciful, and I know that You are righteous, and appeal to His grace and His mercy. What does David say in verse number 2? He says, have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. He didn't say, hey, God, I'm pretty good. I'm not that bad. No, he says, mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. And every one of us deserve to go to hell. Every one of us deserve death. We don't deserve to keep on living. I don't deserve to keep on living. But God has been merciful to us. And again, that's what David said. He said, man, I don't deserve it, but have mercy on me, O Lord. Not only that, he says, man, have grace on me too, because he says, I want You to save me. I want You to help me. I want You to give me something I don't deserve. That's grace. That's grace. I don't deserve salvation, but hey, God said, hey, here it is. Give it to you free and clear. Trust My Son, that's all you need. I'll give you salvation. Talk about some grace now. I'll wipe the slate clean, no more sin. I'll be your Father and you can be my child. Free and clear salvation. You talk about some grace. There is no other religion in the world that can offer you something like that. Not one. You know what they'll say? Be a good person. Can't be good. There's none good, no, not one. Even on your best day, you're still a sinner, and I'm still a sinner. Got to go to God. Get some grace and get some mercy. So David is asking for God to deliver him, because he has no other place to go. So whenever you go before God, knowing you deserve punishment, appeal to the mercy and the grace of God. In the town of Wishaw, Pennsylvania, there lived a Christian man who became a judge. And he was serving there in the courts. And a man came before him that was his childhood friend. And his childhood friend had done something wrong and he had broken the law. And everyone knew that they were friends. They knew that they were best friends in grade school. And this man came before the judge and they thought, man, surely this judge will be lenient on his friend. But to their shock and amazement, he was not lenient. He threw the book at him, gave him a hefty fine. And what even shocked them more is the judge came down, paid his fine, and let him go free. That's what he did. You talk about some mercy and some grace. He upheld the law. He threw the book at him, and then he paid his fine. Amen. How about that? How's that for a Christian? Same thing. God's upholding the law. He's saying, man, you're a sinner. You deserve death, and I'm going to pass judgment on you, but it's going to be on My Son, and I'm going to come down. I'm going to pay the debt, and then I'm going to let you go free. Mercy and grace right there. Amen. Appeal to the mercy and the grace of God, because you have a gracious and a merciful Heavenly Father. Amen. You find a better God than that, then let me know. I don't think you can. You don't have a God like that. You're going to pine away in your sins until the day that you die, and then you'll wish that you had trusted God. Trusted God. So our God is a merciful and a gracious God. He grants mercy and grace. He passed down the sentence, but He paid the fine. And God doesn't grant mercy and grace because we're good. God grants mercy and grace because He's good. Amen. That's the only reason why. It says in Lamentations 3:22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. because his compassions fail not. Amen. They don't ever fail. God is compassionate to us. All we have to do is go to him in humility and say, Lord, I need you. It says in Psalm 136:1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And you know what happens after you go to God in humility, appealing to his grace and his mercy? God will hear your prayers. That's what happened to David here. He appealed to God's mercy and grace, and God heard his prayers. It says in the verses here, verses 8 to 10, Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. We can have confidence that God has heard our prayers because we came to him with a right heart and a right attitude, and we can appeal to God. Don't think that God will hear your prayers if you come to him in pride and arrogance. The Bible says he resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. What does David say? He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He's going to leave you alone. We can be confident that God will hear our prayers. I have three quotes here from Charles Spurgeon about prayer. He says, I believe that God hears your prayers because there is a secret work of the Spirit going on within you, teaching you to pray. He also said, prayer can never be in excess. He said, prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer can do. That's how important prayer is. And that's how important your heart is when you go to God in prayer. You can have confidence that God hears your prayers when you appeal not to you, but to him and to his mercy and to his grace. Come to God with a humble spirit. Don't approach God in pride and say, hey, I'm good enough. I can make it, because we can't. Amen. And then we have power to rebuke the enemy in the end. Hey, we all have enemies, don't we? We have the world. We have the flesh. We have the devil. It's trying to drag you down. It's trying to discourage you. It's trying to just break up your family and break up your life, the devil is. But hey, you can rebuke the enemy at the end of that. He says in verse number 8, he says, Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Man, he's got some power in his voice, and he says, Get away from me. Go away from me. God is on my side. I'm not afraid of what you can do. He says, Depart. Says in verse number 10, Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. So it was only after David had admitted his guilt and admitted his weaknesses before God that he was able to rebuke his enemies and go against them. We are going to have no power over our enemies unless we have God to help us. We can't rebuke the enemy. We can't overcome the enemy. The enemy will have a field day with you if we don't have God. The Bible says, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I look back on David's life many times. Where, man, he had power over his enemies. Man, he went out to fight Goliath. Goliath was like 10 foot tall, almost 10 foot tall. How would you like to go against a giant 10 foot tall? He went out there, man, he was going to go fight against Goliath, and he had to meet with Saul first. And Saul said, man, you're not going to be able to beat this man because he's been a man of war since his youth, and you ain't nothing but a little scrawny run, about 17 years old. How are you going to beat Goliath? And David said, hey, I came up against a lion, and I came up against a bear, and I beat both of them, and I can take this guy on too, but I can't do it in my own power. It's because the Lord helped me through it. He went out and he beat Goliath, 10-foot tall giant. But it was the Lord that helped him. And I remember another time in his life where he was not able to beat the enemy, and that was when he was filled with pride and arrogance because he trusted in his own army and his own strength. And boy, he got his shirt taken there. He was a failure because of his own self-confidence. And if you and I go in our own self-confidence and try to fight against the devil or against our own flesh, we will fail because we have to have God on our side. We must get the victory. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13 that it is through the Holy Spirit that we can put to death the works of the flesh. All of those bad things that we do in our life, those problems that we bring up in our life, those things that we do that are wrong, you're not going to be able to put those to death other than through the Holy Spirit. So we have God at our disposal to help us to get through this Christian life. As I said before, in this mortal body, we groan. We want to get out of it. We get tired of ourselves sometimes. We get tired of destroying our own lives sometimes. We wait for that new body that we're going to get one of these days. We can't wait. I can't wait. But guess what? We've got a fight on our hands right now, waiting for that new body. We have some help from the Lord. We got the grace of God on our side. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and He's there to help us. Let us approach God with humility. Let us admit our guilt when, hey, we are wrong. Whenever we are our own worst enemy, just approach God in the right manner and in the right way. Hey, then we'll get the victory. Then we can rebuke the enemy and get the victory that we need, but not in our own strength. Not in our own strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,